it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It is our number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and it is time now for David Hellman of The Athletic to join us for a Cowboys NFL Week 5 conversation. And a good afternoon, David. How the heck are you?
I am wonderful, fellas. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Man, it's great to hear your voice. Let's start with Kevontae Turpin, sprained ankle. Sprained foot?
Yeah.
Okay, how much of a concern is that going into the Jets game if he can't make it too?
I mean, it's never great considering what they're already dealing with CeeDee Lamb not being available. But I don't know, man. After the after what we saw against the Packers, I'm tempted to say just let four go out there with whoever and wing the ball around. And this Jets defense is a little bit of a mess. So if he can do that against Green Bay, I'll be shocked if they can't have some success against the Jets, no matter who's available.
First 3 weeks, I thought, man, this might be the best version of Dak ever. And then to lose the lineman, to lose CD and go up against Green Bay and do what he did, I was like, yep, now I'm sure. What do you think?
I've said it a couple times since Sunday. I mean, it feels a little hollow since you didn't get a win. And, you know, I think everybody's kind of confused about how to react to a tie, but I think that's probably the best I've ever seen Dak Prescott play. And yeah, I mean, this entire season, really, he's been playing out of his mind. He was phenomenal against Philly. He was phenomenal against the Giants. You know, I think I said this the other night, it's been a deserved criticism at times during Dak's career where, you know, he's not elevating the offense and the roster in the way that a quarterback with his price tag is supposed to. Well, he's freaking doing it right now, man. He's playing like one of those guys, and it's been a lot of fun to watch.
If you could make a move at the deadline, do you think that it's worth the Cowboys moving some of that draft capital they got in the Micah Parsons trade if Dak Prescott's going to be playing this well? Maybe you upgrade the defense?
Man, that's tough because, like, my initial reaction is I don't think this team is good enough on paper to justify that sort of move. Like, especially you're talking about the assets you got in the Micah trade. Like, we're parting ways with a one for who, for what? I mean, are we going to get Trey Hendrickson, who will need a new contract when the season's over, and you're pushing your chips in on this team being good enough to go to the Super Bowl, and that's what's making a trade like that worthwhile? I don't think I buy that. But, you know, give me two or three more weeks. I mean, if the offense continues to look this good and CeeDee Lamb comes back and, you know, if this is the best offense in football as we get closer to the trade deadline, maybe I'm a little more willing to have that conversation. But right now, that feels way too premature for me. Like, this team doesn't feel one player away from winning a championship.
David Hellman with you here on The Fan. What do you think about this running game, though, and maybe what the biggest factor is in it coming together like it has?
We're going to talk about this on the Athletic Football Show this week. Shameless plug. And I don't mean to take credit away from Javonte Williams. He's been freaking awesome. But, man, Clayton Adams, we were excited when he got hired. We talked about the fun stuff the Cardinals did in the run game during his time there and what that might mean for the Cowboys. And look, like I said, Javonte is running well, but with the injuries that they're dealing with up front, I mean, I've never covered a Cowboys team where the offensive line could be compromised and you don't have a Pro Bowl caliber, like prime Zeke Elliott type of running back. Like, you don't have any of that stuff, and they're still running the snot out of the football. And yeah, I think Clayton Adams is, if I had to point to something that's like the reason why this is happening, other than the quarterback just playing out of his mind and getting them into good looks and making defenses honor the pass, that seems like a hell of a hire by Brian Schottenheimer, and our excitement when it happened feels totally justified right now.
Hey, Dave, when you know you mentioned the wide receivers and you know run out whoever, you know, are we to the point though that maybe that this receiving core is actually getting better and they're kind of figuring out within the scheme? You know, I mean, we've seen Turpin, he's now more than a gadget guy and stuff like that, but is this group kind of like figuring some things out and the offense is getting better because of it?
I think that's totally fair, Brian. I mean, I'll raise my hand. Like for the first, up until like this year, really, I rolled my eyes at a lot of the talk about getting Turpin more involved. Like I thought he was a really fast gadget guy who like he had value because of his speed and what that made defenses account for. But I didn't view him as a real deal wide receiver. And I think he's really, you know, he's taken steps in that part of his game and really become like a three-dimensional receiver that you can count on and do a lot of different things. That's been really cool to see. It's always fun. And it goes back to last year too, but when Jalen Tolbert has a moment, it's always fun because he's caught a lot of hell because of how highly he was drafted and how much people liked him as a draft prospect, and certainly hasn't always been as good as he would prefer, but he has grown into a useful NFL receiver. Maybe not as good as we hoped coming out of South Alabama, but he's taken some serious strides over the last season and a half or so. So yeah, I think obviously CD and Pickens are going to be the headliners for good reason, but I think the depth behind them is a lot better than maybe it got credit for. I mean, our guy Ryan Flournoy had some moments against the Packers the other night. Yeah, I think it's a lot better than I think the average person would have given it credit for even a month ago.
Dave, you know, Jerry's going to, you know, be selling to us. Help is on the way with this defense. And they do. I mean, today they got Kalen Carson, who's now going to start practicing. Hopefully the rookie rebel will start getting going. Overshown. Where's your confidence that this defense can start to play a little bit better than worst in the NFL?
I mean, that's Jerry's job, is to sell people. I kind of hate when he does stuff like that, especially in the case of like Siobhan Revelle, where this guy is a rookie who didn't have much of a final college season. You know, he tore his ACL in September or October last year. And like to be hyping him up as a guy who's going to come in and be a difference maker. And maybe he will. I'm not saying that he can't. But I don't like putting those expectations on him before he's even fully practicing in the NFL. Like a guy who didn't have a training camp, who's never played at this level. I'm happy. I'd love for him to go out and prove that he is that type of guy. And what a cool story that would be. But I'm always of the mind of like, that is a good development.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, we're happy to be pleasantly surprised by stuff like that, but expecting it, I think that's, you know, that's how you get fans to resent a guy when he's not quite ready to be as good as Jerry Jones is selling him as. And yeah, I kind of have the same mindset with a lot of those guys. Obviously, DeMarvian Overshown's a hell of a fun player, but I want him to be fully healthy when he comes back. I don't want him trying to beat any timelines. And obviously, as serious as that injury was, it would be totally fine if it took him a little while to get back up to speed. And like I said, if that's not the case, if he's just the man again the moment he's healthy, then that is a very fun development. But putting those hopes and dreams on guys, I think it's dirty business a little bit, to be blunt. That's not how I would prefer to operate. So hopefully that is the case, but I'm not sitting here counting on it because I just think that can lead to some bad places when it doesn't work out as well as it's being sold.
Hey, David, you and Dane doing a podcast weekly, about the college, football and the players and stuff like that, the draft. So far, have you had a chance to kind of, I know it's a long way to go, but if you had a chance to kind of dive in to have an idea of really, like, is the first round looking like a pretty solid, the fact that Dallas is going to have the first, have two picks in that round?
I'm not trying to bum anybody out. And like, there are a ton of good players. There are always going to be good players, but like, the theme for the early going of the college season right now is basically who's going to step up and prove that they're actually worth the hype that they're getting,
sure.
I think it's a lot of the big names coming into the season have, even if they haven't been bad, they've just kind of failed to impress and really like put their stamp on the season. But there are definitely some exciting players. Ohio State is just loaded with really, like, if you're a Cowboy fan and you're trying to bolster this defense, I would watch a lot of Ohio State and try to watch as much Buckeye football as possible. Their offense isn't very fun to watch, Brian, but LSU's defense is loaded with NFL guys.
Sure.
There will be good players, but like, this feels like another year where, if you're looking for like that star-studded draft like in 2021 with Micah Parsons and Ja'Marr Chase and all of those guys, this doesn't feel like that type of draft. But we're only just now reaching the half point of the college season, and conference play is just now getting underway, so that could change. But I'd say in the early going, it's kind of been a little underwhelming. Like, okay, well, who wants to step up and be the best player in this draft class? Because it hasn't happened yet.
Dave Hellman, the Athletic Football Show, with us here on The Fan. Dave, how do you stack up the NFC right now? With the Packers kind of stumbling a little bit, the Eagles winning but not looking great. Doesn't seem like anybody's really taken a stranglehold over the NFC right now.
That's a really good point. Obviously, I think the Packers, everybody was penciling the Packers into the Super Bowl up until the last week and a half. I'm not writing off Green Bay just because of this. Maybe they got a little bit out over their skis, but I still think they're a really good football team. It's funny, we can wring our hands all day about what's going on with Philly, and it needs to look a hell of a lot better. That's for sure. But like, they're still 4-0. They are so talented that they can overcome the fact that their coaching and their scheme isn't as good as it has been at other times. So it's hard to go away from them. If I'm looking for somebody under the radar, first of all, I think Detroit got their butts kicked in week one, and I think it turned a lot of people off, but man, they look like they're right back on track. They look very, very good. And if we're looking under the radar, I really think Tampa is a really good team. And, they lost to Philly. They made a few too many mistakes in that game, but they were right there with them. Their defense looks better than it has in the last couple years, I think. They got a lot of young guys playing really well on the defensive side of the ball. And their offensive line's been a mess for the entire first month of the year. They've had a lot of guys on IR. They've been down 2 and 3 starters. They had their center playing left tackle for the first 3 weeks of the season, and they're 3-1, and they went toe to toe with Philly. So I think, as far as teams that people don't view as a contender, I'm pretty high on Tampa Bay. Detroit, Tampa, Green Bay, Philly, those are the ones that really come to mind for me. And the Rams as well. As long as that quarterback's healthy, they're freaking awesome.
We're all pretty high on Clayton Adams. You've talked about him here so far today. And I'm just wondering what the national hype level is on him. Do you think Clayton Adams could do such a good job with the Cowboys he could become a hothead coaching name already?
Absolutely. Look, the Athletic Football Show, we cover the entire league. We talk about every single team as often as need be. And, the Cowboys are 1-2-1. They're not exactly, they're not lighting the league on fire, at least from a team-wide perspective. But we're going to do a segment on Clayton Adams this week on our preview show. I think he was, when you see what Arizona was doing with him and the fun stuff they were doing in the run game and the success they were having on offense without a ton of talent, and Arizona's offense is really, really struggling right now. Maybe that's not all because he left, but it's hard not to note that as soon as he left town, their offense has taken a pretty big step back. And when you're having these kind of results in a market as big as Dallas, people take notice. I mean, absolutely. Like if Dak Prescott keeps playing this way, and if the Cowboys maintain as the best running offense in the NFL, which they are right now, like they're the most efficient rushing game in the league, which absolutely nobody saw coming. It's absolutely the type of thing that'll get you head coaching buzz. I mean, and you know, I think back in the day, you used to have to do this stuff for 3 to 5 years before people would give you a shot. But ever since Sean McVay, that's really not the case anymore. I mean, Liam Cohen got the Jacksonville job off of 1 year as a play caller. Dave Canales got the Carolina job off of 1 year as a play caller. So, and I know Schottenheimer's calling the plays in Dallas, but like with the size of that market and the visibility of the Cowboys, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, maybe it takes 2 or 3 years for it to pop for him, but I absolutely think he's going to, you know, get some buzz if this keeps going through the rest of the season.
And Dave, I'd be pretty confident Shoddy would go find another good one.
I mean, I was just thinking this because I'm prepping for our show and I'm taking notes and looking at things, and it was such an inspired hire. And honestly, it's like not the type of thing that the Cowboys often do. Like, I think the Cowboys have so many times looked for expertise and you know, just like this wealth of knowledge. And so a lot of the guys you see roll through Dallas have been doing it for a long time, and they're these like well-established names. And for Shoddy to go identify a dude who had a lot of, and like, you know, also it's not even like the Cardinals have had all this playoff success, right? Like they've been a rebuilding team for the last 2 years. So to like be paying close enough attention to see what Clayton Adams was doing in Phoenix and being willing to go get him and bring him to Dallas, like, I think it's a departure from what the Cowboys typically do. And hopefully it inspires them to keep that up. Because if that was his first hire, it at least gives me a lot of confidence that he could make another good one if he needs to, if Clayton Adams leaves at some point.
I wanted to pick your brain on the quarterbacks in the SEC, Dave. Nuts, I thought, number one overall pick potentially. What the hell is going on with him? Arch, obviously, super hyped. Finally had a good game. Lenora Sellers, DJ Lagway. This conference was loaded preseason, but to your point, been a little underwhelming.
I mean, it's college football as a whole, really. Like a lot of guys that were supposed to have good years just aren't doing it. I mean, with Arch Manning, his name, not to say that he's not good, but like when your name is Manning, the hype was always going to outpace what he's actually done. And I'm not closing the book on him, but I think it's completely reasonable if he wasn't ready for the amount of scrutiny that he was receiving from the word go. Nuss just isn't healthy, and Brian Kelly downplayed it today. You know, he said it's misinformation that Nuss might need surgery, but just go watch LSU's games. Like, he doesn't look right. He doesn't look like the same player. He's got no zip on his throws. He's got no ability to push the ball downfield. So, I mean, he's been very underwhelming. I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but he's just he needs to get healthy. Hopefully he can do that during LSU's bye week. Sellers, I think, has been very entertaining. I think a little bit inconsistent, which you would probably expect from a guy who's still just a sophomore. But I will say, we talked about this on our draft show, Dane Brugler and I, today, if you want to go check it out. I don't think Ty Simpson was getting a whole heck of a lot of buzz coming into the season, which is kind of funny because he's an Alabama quarterback, but man, I think his game against Georgia the other night was the best game that an SEC quarterback has played so far this year. And he's draft eligible. I don't know if he's going to come out. I don't know how the rest of the season's going to go, but I kind of sat up in my seat watching him against Georgia the other day where I was like, ooh, maybe we should be talking about this guy a little bit more than we are.
You're the man, Dave. Thanks so much for your insights. Enjoy week 5, and we'll be reading and listening there on The Athletic.
Anytime, fellas. I appreciate it.
Cheers. There he goes. A must follow on Cowboys Twitter. That's David Hellman, Brian's old buddy from DallasCowboys.com at the big time.
Yeah.
He's killing it, isn't he?
He's doing a great job.
It's really wonderful. Yeah. And he's a terrific football guest. So thanks so much to Dave for joining us. All righty, we got the C-Note coming up next. Cowboys news of the evening. We'll get you updated on everything in a busy Cowboys afternoon here as they start getting ready for the Jets.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.